closed session. Mr. Galbert is ill, and had to leave. So do I hear a motion to excuse him? Mr. Lee? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Third item on the agenda is approval of the June minutes. We did not meet in July. Any corrections, additions?
Move to accept. That answer to your mind.
I'll say. All in favor?
Aye.
Number four, the public comments. Would anyone from the public like to address the commission? None. Okay, old business. Short-term rental issue. There's an article here from the Lemon and News that is in small print. I had not seen it before, so pardon me while I read it. Not this article necessarily, but the issue of short-term rentals came before our commission, was brought up by our commission over a year ago, and with a great hue and cry from the surrounding communities, we filled all the chairs one night, and the board of realtors made several impassioned pleas, members of the board of realtors. From that organization. And it kind of died a slow death on the vine in this community. Any further discussion?
Chairman, if I could contribute to the discussion. These are attempts by Wilmington. Wilmington's been working on trying to regulate short-term rentals for a while. I know something about it because I represent two entities that have an interest in that outcome. But it's interesting, if you look at Wilmington's Land Development Code, they don't per se regulate short-term rentals. They also have that provision in their code that we've talked about before, that if it's not a listed use, it's prohibited. We all know the legal effect of such a catch-all provision at this time. What they do have are two definitions. One definition deals with single-family residents, and one definition deals with multi-family. And within those definitions, there's language that that is being read as saying you cannot rent out your single-family residence for less than 7 days. Okay? There's been a effective lobbying group that I won't identify that feels that these short-term rentals are creating problems, excessive noise, the same things that you all looked at a while ago. So therefore, they're pushing council very hard to develop short-term rentals within a 3-day window. They don't want anything they want to shorten the time that you could have a short term. I think they want to maximize it to no less than 30 days. I think that's what they want. Whatever it is.
So a short term rental would be no less than 30 days?
It's something like that. I don't recall exactly what they want, but the bottom line is, it would, if you took the definition as being a regulation, it would prevent people who now engage in short-term rentals from being able to do so. So when I analyzed it, the situation, I came up with the following findings: that number one, I'm not sure the code regulates it at all. Number two, if regulations were adopted that impacted their ability to continue the use that they currently are engaged in, I would argue that their use is grandfathered, and as long as they don't expand it or modify it, it's a non-conforming situation that they can continue to engage in. And then finally, I would argue that the whole concept of short-term rental being regulated by local government is preempted by the Vacation Rental Act that we looked at in detail, and that was used effectively because language in there says that we can't permit, we can't issue permits to address these problems. So my advice to those clients, and I'm getting ready to address to the city attorney this week a letter that their current, that I don't think short-term rentals are regulated, and if they are, my client's current use is grandfathered, and that any attempts to regulate would be preempted by the general statutes, and that my clients are prepared to make a test case out of it. So I think that's the nuts and bolts of the short-term rental issue. I wish I could recall exactly what the city's trying to do, but it would end up, in theory, not allowing my clients to do their 7 days. They do 7 to 30 days.
My understanding is most of the VVRO stuff can do 7 or longer.
Airbnb, VRBO.
And that's another very interesting thing. I read what ain't more than 10 lines, and I'll include a copy of it to Wilmington City Attorney, but there was a little blurb in the New York Times yesterday that Airbnb is now instigated 2 lawsuits against a municipality short-term rental regulations because on free speech grounds and on a federal law that prevents regulating website content. So Wilmington may be in for who knows who will win, but there may be some adventures on the horizon if they move forward with the STR issue.
All right. There's already nuisance ordinances on most.
Yeah, to me, that's what you do. So
you have a short-term rental, and people are a nuisance with noise or whatever, then there are rules for that.
I've always felt that was the correct approach with code enforcement.
Now, we have definitions in our code of single-family and multi-family.
Well,
but they don't deal with the number of days.
Yeah, these definitions, and I should have brought that file with me. These definitions are like single-family dwelling, a dwelling designed for use by a single family that shall not be rented for any more than 30 or less than 7 days. And that's the only reference you find to any kind of STR regulation is in that definition. I think the multi-family has similar language, but you can't rent it for less than 30 days. But I'm just not sure those are regulations. I think those are definitions.
And in our planning and zoning section, they come under the heading of definition. Any further discussion? Anybody see a need for us to?
Not at this time.
No, I don't need. Okay, moving on to new business. Discussion regarding
House Bill 483 on land use regulatory changes. It says there was an article attached in Mayor Swearingen requesting people contact their legislator regarding this.
Chairman, if you'd like, I can take that.
I would like to.
It's a dead issue right now, and I'm going to show you why. It's also a very graphic example of how effective lobbying, which I think was by the League of Municipalities in this instance, how it can affect a bill. So what I'm going to hand you is the original edition of House Bill 483. I'm going to point out just a couple of things. And this bill was passed, but not in the way that you see it today. And the article that is attached from the mayor is actually the one that I forwarded from the League that was concerned about this. But on your, this is the first draft of House Bill 483. And you'll always see when they're dealing with land use regulations, there's chapter, look at on the first page, section 2, chapter 168, that's the city statutes. 153A under section 3 is the county statutes. But here's what everybody was pitching a fit about. You turn to page 2, you see section 4, civil action for declaratory relief, injunctive relief, and other remedies. What this bill in its original form allowed a landowner, permit applicant, or tenant aggrieved by a final and binding decision involving the application and enforcement of the zoning ordinance, instead of going to the Board of Adjustment, they could go right to court and seek damages. And that's a big change. That's a big change. Further down in subsection B under section 4, they had a one-year statute of limitations for providing that action. And then if you turn to page 7, there's already an existing provision in the statutes in chapter 6 about awarding attorney's fees to a successful litigant against a city. But it was always discretionary. If you look on the section 8, the bold type 6-21.7, and you come down three lines, you'll see where they struck may and put in shall. So that makes the award of attorney's fees a lot more possible than the discretionary may, because you rarely saw attorney fees being applied against the municipality under the discretionary standard. So the article says that the bill in its original form incentivizes litigation at the expense of municipalities, and I think that's true. So this is what ended up being passed. This is a session law that is now on the books.
Did you get one or two copies?
So this page and three lines replace these eight pages?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I need you to share that.
So they went from what we discussed to this. And this does two things. All the stuff about going to court, seeking damages, getting attorney's fees, that's all by the wayside. What ended up being passed instead was that any amendments in your UDOs and your zoning ordinance shall not be applicable or enforceable without the written consent of the owner with regard to multi-phase development. In other words, if somebody comes in for a four-phase development on August 4th and gets approved, and you all do an amendment a year later, that amendment doesn't apply to that approved phase development. And really, you could accomplish the same thing through another statutory vehicle called a development agreement. A development agreement sets forth a development, sets forth the approval process, but the main crux of it is any changes in the zoning ordinance shall not apply to the subject of that development agreement.
It's an easy word to be read by the
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. And that is all that was, and then it defines what a multi-phase development is. And that's what, after effective lobbying, House Bill 483 was reduced to. So it's a graphic example of where they started and what you ended up with. So I don't think that
we don't have 100 acres available in one parcel. To.
We don't have 100 acres all together.
So the mayor's suggestion to contact legislatures is certainly well-intentioned, but there's no need to. It, the issue's over and done with.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Just as a point of information on that, this came out a while ago because I wrote a letter in support of this to the, actually, I think it came from you, Joe, all of us to write. And I wrote a letter in support of this and got an answer back and sent to the channel. So this is an old, this is months old. The request from the mayor is months old.
I don't think the mayor was aware that it had, there was a lot of attention on it when it was controversial. And we always get updates on the General Assembly. And I kept looking for what happened to 483 at the end of the session. And had a very difficult time finding it. So once it became non-controversial, it went off everybody's radar screen. I had to dig to find what actually happened. And so no harm, no foul.
Well, maybe enough people responded to, yeah, to sway the legislation.
Well, we can report that back to the mayor, and she can give herself a pat on the back.
Especially in an election year.
Okay, item B under new business, beach safety and conservation standards.
I'll take that, Chairman, if you'd like.
Okay, you're busy, gentlemen.
Council, city council, town council wanted to develop some safety and conservation standards as text amendments to the code, and being text amendments to the code, asked PZC to review the proposed amendments, which are in front of you, and to report back to council, which I understand will fix a date for a public hearing to consider and act on these amendments. The reason that council is interested in these standards is probably best expressed in the first proposed text amendment, which sets forth the policy. So rather than rehashing it, I'll just read the pertinent parts of it to illustrate where council's coming from on these particular amendments. It is the policy of the town of Curry Beach to encourage and promote the recreational use of its beach while conserving and sustaining the sensitive ecosystems found there, including but not being limited to stabilizing system of sand dunes, sea turtle nesting sites, the nest and young of local migratory bird species, and the habitats of other maritime plant and wildlife communities. In achieving the purposes of this policy, all actions not otherwise provided for in the code, which occur on or are requested to occur on the beach, including the frontal dune, the beach strand, and prohibited areas, all of which are defined in the code, shall be evaluated under and conform to the following safety and conservation standards. Before I address those standards, let me say that preliminary review by staff, Mr. Batson in particular, pointed out two omissions which I'm going to recommend inserts for. So when you make your when you vote on your report, I would recommend that you vote on what we'll call the amended version, which will have these two inserts in them. On the second line, where which currently reads, its beach while conserving and sustaining the sensitive ecosystems, we're going to insert while protecting human safety and conserving and sustaining the sensitive ecosystems. It was pointed out that these are beach safety and conservation standards, but safety simply was not mentioned in the policy, which was an inadvertent omission by yours truly. Mr. Batson pointed out on the next to the last line, shall be evaluated under and conform to he raised the intelligent question of by whom. And it was suggested that the insert would be, shall be evaluated by pertinent department heads. And I certainly recommend that insertion as well. The safety and conservation standards, I'm not going to read them per se. I'll just point out the highlights. The following safety and conservation standards shall be used to evaluate the occurrence of actions on the beach not otherwise provided for in the code. In conforming with these standards, all such actions shall not, for example, pose a direct or indirect threat to human safety, impede, obstruct, or disrupt the provision of law enforcement, ocean rescues, and other emergency services, unreasonably interfere with the public's use and enjoyment of the beach by noise or fuel or other hazardous materials being discharged on the surface of the beach or in ocean waters. An important consideration is that no such action shall involve a vehicle being operated on the beach at night. That's because the sea turtles come in at night to nest. In addition, no such action requested or occurring may have the potential of damaging the system of sand dunes, damaging, destroying vegetation, damaging or destroying sensitive maritime ecosystems, increasing beach erosion, harassing, injuring, or resulting in the death of local migratory bird species or their young, and the same prohibition against the harassing, injury, and or death of sea turtle eggs, hatchlings, or the females attempting to nest on the beach. We've carved out exceptions for authorized personnel authorized by statute, ordinance, or agreement that are performing designated functions on the beach, including, without limitation, those authorized personnel policing and maintaining the beach, providing ocean rescue and other emergency services, providing code enforcement and beach nourishment projects. It's a simple enough document, and again, the reason the council is recommending consideration of these standards is there are situations, the code is very good about addressing many of the actions and uses which could occur on the beach. But much like that catch-all provision coming to back in the zoning ordinance, it can't possibly address all of them. And these standards are meant to address those actions occurring or requested to occur on the beach that the code does not presently address. It's staff's recommendation that these standards can be employed to evaluate such requests, the long and short of it being, if the requested action that's occurring or requested to occur on the beach cannot conform to these standards, that the pertinent department heads may decide not to allow that, or vice versa. And staff is aware that any such decision needs to be adequately researched and documented. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have, but that's what this is all about.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for
James? More of a comment than a question. I think I like what I read, and I like the changes you're recommending, because as you look at the proposal, the first item in 1248 is a direct or indirect threat to human safety. We didn't mention it in the policy part, so that needed to be there. And I also agree with the fact that one person should be making this decision. It should be a committee of pertinent people. The only thing I would ask is define pertinent people to me and the people that are here.
I think
who are you talking pertinent department heads? Who are you talking about?
Well, I think it would depend on the request. For example, if somebody wanted to use something that would impact on the provision of ocean rescue, fire, or law enforcement, certainly the police chief and the fire chief would be that. But Mr. Batson probably would be present for any and all such.
So that pertinent group would change as the situation changes?
I think so.
Which makes sense.
Any other comments?
Question?
Motion approve, isn't it?
I've got a question, John. So as written, does this preclude anything that's happening now? For instance, the four-wheeling on Fort Fisher after dark, let's say.
Is there four-wheeling occurring on Fort Fisher after
this?
Yeah.
But it's already
Can't do that at night anymore. That's not in our jurisdiction anyway.
Right. It's not.
Or the patient.
We ripped the ball.
Sure, if you chance it, Riggins.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go. I'll second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Then the zoning commission agrees with the standards that they have been presented here by the attorney, and I will present those to the council at the September meeting. August. Excuse me, August meeting. Right. Good catch.
Okay. I'll throw that up.
Just for my information, Chairman and liaison, public hearing will be in September.
What are we doing? Board council meeting in September.
Member items. Anything from you two gentlemen?
I'll guess.
Okay. I do have one. The town clerk, Nancy Hewitt, sent an email to Josie and said that she got an email from the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization asking if they could meet with our commission at one of our meetings in September, October, November to present some information on Cape Fear Transportation 2040 and discuss how the plan can be used by the commission. Wednesday, BNC, please ask our members which month they would like to invite him to go to come and speak and let her know, and she will contact the representative. I asked Mr. Galbert before he left. He did not have a preference. I would shy away from November personally. You gentlemen, September, October, and have a preference?
Either one works.
We'll just do it in September and
get it done.
Get it done. Okay. All I can say no to invite them for September.
So with a backup date of October in case they need it.
Mr. Chairman, if you could allow me to interrupt. Josie, I'll send an amended, I'll make those changes and send them to you and Nancy.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Should we have a motion to set up that schedule for, what did you say, September?
Need a motion, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I have a motion that we meet with that committee in September is the first choice. The second choice would be October.
Second.
Second.
Uh-huh. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. But they're going to come here. We don't go to them. They will be.
That motion be to invite them.
Yeah. There will be an agenda item for September.
Just for the record, that raises an interesting question. If that committee, which is probably a public body, has a quorum present, but that's not our issue. They're coming to our regular meeting. But if they want to notice a special meeting, that's their.
I'm actually the town representative to that organization, and as we wrapped up Transportation 2040, the senior guy and then Ms. Rashid and I presented to the council, the results of 2040.
Is that Mike? Is he the senior?
No, he's like number one, or not number one, but number two or three on the, and he might be the number one in the actual paid position.
Yeah.
But our guy on the citizens committee was here that night. And then the other lady that she and I did a frickin' frack act. presenting the material. She did a few slides. I did a few slides.
Yeah.
She's a paid staff.
I'm familiar with her.
So I'll be curious to see what else they want to talk about. Anything else, gentlemen?
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone.